Cast, and I am Steve Miggs. I am here with the Reverend Infuego.
Hello.
I'd say Glenn Cannon, but Glenn is not here. He is under the weather.
Under the weather? Under the motorcycle?
Well, I don't know what he wants to share. I don't know if he shared it on, but he's okay.
Yeah, he's fine.
I'll leave it vague, but he's okay.
Wow, leave it that vague and just see what happens in the next week, and everyone's like freaking out on the web, on his Facebook or something.
Heard the Miggs Cast. You heard you're okay, but they said something about a motorcycle. Yeah, he's okay. But Glenn's resting up and scared the living crap out of Rev and I think, this morning when I woke up to his text. But he's okay.
And we'll leave it at that. Send a message to Glenn Cannon on Facebook.
No, don't do that.
Five N's.
Don't make him miserable. Let the man rest.
Let him rest.
I'm sure we'll find out all about next week on the Miggs Cast. But in true form, whenever Glenn is not here, we need to load the room up with great personalities and great people because, you know, he is one man of many.
Yes.
And so we bring in many to replace that one man. So we've got our friends in Superfecta. We've got Kyle and Matt here.
What's up?
What's happening?
How you guys doing?
Wonderful. Awesome.
Also, we got a couple in studio guests as well, Adam and Joe, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey.
What's up, you guys?
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Hello, Internet.
So we got a full house, Rev.
Yeah, we do.
And I appreciate Adam's got curly hair like Glenn. So
yes, I do.
Yes. And Joe's under a motorcycle at this moment.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. That's all, how it works out.
This all works out just great. But I'm very excited to have the boys in Superfecta here because, I don't know. How long have I known Kyle? It's been a long time.
Forever.
I mean, since the end days.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah,
well, the first time I met you, you were 14, and this is not like a weird. This isn't like a weird.
Wow,
on a special episode.
How Epstein of you
of Different Strokes.
Mm. We were told not to discuss that.
Were you 14?
No, I think I was 17 or 18.
Okay, almost legal.
He was
there,
legal.
There you go.
There
you legal
go.
In Washington State, Rev.
Hey, Kyle, can you roar like a lion for us?
Meow.
Can I call you Dudley? Can we pretend this is the back of a bicycle shop?
All right, this got okay. Creepy.
First time I ever talked to Kyle and met Kyle, it was a crazy, holy crap, many years later, I can't believe you are that guy. Kyle, I think we shared this story before, but it's a fun one to share again quickly, and it's Kyle got to perform, probably one of the first times you performed in front of a crowd as a guitarist, and you did it in front of, 18,000 people at the Key Arena with Green Day on stage.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, I think Superfecta had been a band for about a year.
Okay.
And then our drummer Mike and I went to Deck the Hall Ball, and just like Green Day always does, they'll bring up random people. Who knows how to play the bass? Who knows how to play the drums and the guitar? Yeah. And we both got pulled up there.
What are the odds that the two guys in a band together get pulled up on stage, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I still have that little picture of me and my Abercrombie beanie up on stage. And Billy Joe's like, get the hell off my side of the stage, a-hole.
It's amazing, though, when you think about how they do that. Now, that was the first time I ever saw them do something like that. But now they do it at every show,
right?
For the most part. I've seen them do it many, many, many times. And it's always, it doesn't matter if they're good or bad. But I think most of the time people have been on stage, like, they have blind faith in somebody to perform on stage with them. And more often than not, the people they bring up on stage can do it.
Yeah, and actually, truth be told, they pulled up. I played the bass that night, and Mike played the drums. But they pulled another girl up there to play the bass initially.
That's right.
And she couldn't do it.
Yes.
Oh. So they kicked her off. And who really knows how to play? And then I got to go up there after that.
So did she just, her for having the, have them, but have the balls to.
Yeah.
How hard is it to play bass? Well, this hard, dummy.
Yeah. And it wasn't until, the next day that, I think I ran into you after the show, and you're like, here, give us a call tomorrow. We'll talk about it on the air.
Yeah, because somebody said, that's the guy that was up on stage. I'm like, no way. Okay, we got to talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah. And then years later, I started working with you here at Entercom, and no way, that was you.
Yeah. And it was like we were already like on a buddy level for a while before you finally said, hey, did you know that I'm the guy that you talked to?
We had played in the New Originals for a few years at that point, and we were just kind of BSing before practice going, and by the way, speaking of Green Day.
Yes.
Did you know?
Yeah, did you just not want to bring that up?
No, it's just, I mean,
never decided to come up or anything.
No,
like
it just never seemed like the right time to be like, guess what I did?
I guess that makes
personally,
sense.
I'd be wearing a shirt that has the picture.
I played
Green Day. Green Day. Yeah. Yeah. First thing I say to everybody, it's on my business card. It's in the intro to the show. It's BJ and the guy who played with Green Day.
Remember that time?
Right.
Like the, that was cool.
You're like the Al Bundy. That's like the one thing you never let go
four
of that one time.
Four touchdowns.
Polk High.
Homecoming game.
Played with Green Day at Polk High.
You want to see me throw a football over that mountain over there?
Four chords with Green Day. Dude, and the crazy part is, like you mentioned, that you were in a band with Superfecta for about a year at that point, and you're about to celebrate the 20-year anniversary of the band being a band.
We're old now.
What the F, man?
We're old now.
Well, I just felt old this morning when I realized it's the 20-year anniversary of that song by Len, the Steal My Sunshine, that we've geeked out about.
Steal My Sunshine.
That was the inspiration of starting our band, right. Believe it or not.
Super gullible right there. I was like, no.
Of course.
Really?
Dude, you know how many bands were inspired by Len?
Say, we can do this.
Superfecta.
Dude, that was a fun time, though, for music. That was like around the time with like Lit, yeah, and E6, all like these fun summer rock songs. And I mean, Len was a little more poppy, but it was still a rock song.
It was coming out of the new metal aggro rap rock stuff, the hard edge, roar, 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 roar stuff. So people.
A little sugary.
Yeah, something they wanted a little bit of a palate cleanser when it came to that.
I still love all those bands, the Lits and the E6. I just saw E6 last year at the Crocodile. It was awesome.
Really?
Yeah, they were doing their 20th anniversary of their first record.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them doing all of it. I'm actually going at the end of the month to go see Sponge play the Crocodile.
Candles.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or was that the one song, Plowed?
Yes, Plowed off of Rotting Pinata.
Dude, that was a great song.
It was, that first album was really good. Their second one was a bit of more of a concept album.
Oh, boy.
But I loved it. I still listen to that. Like, I literally have created an entire, like, storyline with this album that I've, like...
You should tell them that. They'd be shocked. They're like, you, really?
I don't want... No, I'm not going to be the guy that goes
I'm
up
bringing
to
them in studio, and you have to tell them that.
By the way, Vinny, I've written a play based on your album, and I would like to recite it to you right now.
That's great, man. See you later.
The dude from Sponge then sang with... Oh, man, what the hell was the name of that band? They were a local band of, like... It was Chris DeGarmo of Queensryche, Sean Kinney from Alice in Chains, somebody else, and Vinny, the singer of Sponge, was the front man.
Really?
And they were...
Spies for Darwin?
Yes.
Okay, because I just quickly Googled that.
Do you remember those guys, Kyle?
No, I'm trying to remember.
Spies for Darwin.
They were... Oh, man, I got to see if I can find them on... I don't think they're on Apple Music. I doubt they are.
Yeah, it's Spies, the number 4, Darwin, all one letter.
Is it S-P-I-E-S or S-P-Y?
S-P-Y-S.
Oh,
like, maybe you could find it on YouTube or something.
Well, dude, Spies for Darwin showing up right here.
All right, yeah.
This is the band right here. Who else was in the band?
It looks like Chris DeGarmo, which you said, Sean Kinney, Mike Inez.
From Alice.
Yeah.
So it's Alice's rhythm section and Chris DeGarmo from Queensryche.
That's so cool.
2001.
They're going to see a spike in their searches and plays, and they're going to wonder what the hell.
We just made 15 cents this month on streaming. This is amazing. But I always thought it was such a weird thing. It's like a Seattle supergroup, and then the dude from Sponge.
Yeah. Which, and they're from Detroit.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for the chorus, at least. Give him the chance to belt out his pipes.
The hook.
If he does. It's not bad, but yeah. I mean, it was still cool at the time. Alice in Chains was doing nothing. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, I remember they came in studio. Sean did, and I think Mike did as well. I can't remember. I know for sure Sean, that was the first time I ever met him. And he was promoting the fact that this was his new thing, and obviously didn't take off, but not bad.
Yeah, they had a 6-song EP that came out. Yeah, Microfish.
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 But this isn't about Spies for Darwin. Today is about Superfecta.
That's true.
Let's get back. You guys gotta, so, first off, you got a show coming up. You're playing with some band called Disturbed. And
you may have heard of them.
Some other band in this moment, I think.
Yep.
They're getting to open up for you guys.
No. No.
No.
I think we'll be the low man on the totem pole that day.
Hell yeah, though. We're still.
I'm okay with that.
But we're on the totem pole. That's what matters.
Yes, right? Dude, I was so happy when we announced all the bands that were playing at Pain in the Grass. And this is a Friday show. So next Friday, August 2nd, Disturbed, of course, headlining along with In This Moment, a bunch of other bands. And of course, Superfecta, because the thing that got me most excited, and I legitimately mean this, when we finally found out all the bands that were getting to play and they started talking about the local bands, I was so beyond geeked out when I saw you guys were going to be a part of it, because I remember what happened last year. You were supposed to open up for Event Sevenfold was supposed to open up for Superfecta.
Yep.
But you guys got sick, so the whole show had to be canceled.
No, that was terrible. What a dagger! How's he doing now? Do you know?
You know, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm assuming he's fine.
Right.
Because he just needed a few months off, and of course, it was right around Pain in the Grass to rest his voice and that shadow and shadows.
I had a lot of people last year that, you know, I'm so sorry that happened. That's such a bummer. It's like, you know what? Nobody died. But think about that guy. That's his livelihood. That's his job and how he feeds his family. So in danger of not being able to ever sing again, like I couldn't even imagine like getting my fingers chopped off or something.
Right. That's his identity. Yeah. That's who he is. He's known for being the singer of a band. That's what he loves to do. And that's how he pays his bills.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot behind that. You're absolutely right. It was funny when it all happened too. We had a lot of people like message us all pissed off. Like, how you guys suck. I can't believe you canceled Pain in the Grass. It's like, we did everything we could to try and to save that show.
Yeah.
And like, why didn't the other bands play? I'm like, because it was part of a tour. And once they canceled, those bands did not have a home for a tour. So it wasn't like as if they were just coming to play here. They were doing a bunch of other dates. So they had to just completely scrap the whole tour.
Yeah.
And any other band that's that big, 2 weeks before the show is either going to be off or doing something else. You can't just call Alice in Chains and say, oh, come on, 2 weeks notice and play a show.
Yeah. Dude, somebody texted, one of you guys Pearl Jam, they're not touring right now.
Oh, I'm like, Jesus.
Yeah. Why don't you call him?
I'll get on the phone right now.
let me text Eddie. Yeah. Yo, Ed.
Hey, Ed.
Eggplant emoji. Okay, now that we got that out of the way.
Hey, Ed, would you be interested in? No, Steve, I wouldn't be interested.
We'll bring the wine.
I don't even know what you're going to ask.
Thanks Eddie for calling.
Eddie would be the guy if I asked like during our interviews, can I ask a stupid question? He'd be like,
no.
I'm kidding. He's actually really cool. But no, it's not that easy. You just can't be like, hey, Metallica, I noticed you're not touring right now, so you got nothing to do. Play our radio festival.
And Castle was working so hard to try to salvage it.
That's what we heard.
Yeah, and it was a heartbreak all around when it came down to it.
I don't think I could feel bad saying it. I mean, there was a moment that the band that you're actually playing with was potentially going to do it, but it just couldn't line up right.
Yeah.
It was looking like Disturbed was going to actually come in and save the day.
Yeah.
And then it just became a technical nightmare on every element of it all. And they were just like, we can't pull this off in time with such short notice. And so we had to scrap it all. But here is kind of funny foreshadowing that you would finally get to play now.
I know,
Disturbed.
Right?
Yeah.
I thought about that when Ryan gave me the call and said, hey, we'd want to offer you the rain check from last year. Do you want to do the Saturday with Rob Zombie or do you want to do the Friday with Disturbed? And it's like, no, the stars are aligning. They want us to play with Disturbed. Let's do that Friday. Plus, I mean, we're this bubblegum poppy rock style band. I mean, are we going to play for the fans of Rob Zombie and Marilyn Manson? Or we want to take our chances with the sickness, you know? So I think that was a good decision in itself.
That would have been fantastic. And in this moment, too, I feel like their fan base will, too, appreciate your guys' sound.
Yeah.
Who else is on that bill? There's one other band, I think.
So on the day that we're playing?
Yeah.
There's Basement, Fever 333 in this moment, and New Year's Day.
New Year's Day. Oh, yeah. Ooh. New Year's Day. That's a good call on your part.
It's a cool vibe.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys will set the tone really well for that show.
Hell yeah.
That's awesome. And is that the biggest venue that you guys are playing in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, aside from 18,000 people with Green Day in front of the
arena. Four touchdowns.
Dude, I remember when we got to do it last year, a lot of people said, just wait for the sound check. You're just going to be blown away by how epic it is. So look out and just see this giant venue and hear how big everything sounds. And I remember when we first started hitting the kick and the snare, I got goosebumps. I'm like, holy crap, they're right. This finally became real.
Yeah, I'm like, really excited.
I never thought in a million years you get to play an amphitheater.
Yeah. It'll probably be the first and the last time. You know, like,
make it.
Don't think that way, Kyle.
Yeah. Man. No, this is the first of many. Yeah. Time for the world tour.
Yeah. Let's go on the world. Yeah.
I speak from experience. It will be the first and last as well. Yeah. That's it. We just did that one. And that's it. Never
and it
again.
Was great. And I'm glad I did it.
Never forget it. But it's funny. I did see a video of our thing because the memories are starting to pop up on Facebook or whatever. Because it was around that time, and I saw it, and I was like, oh, man, that's right. That was really fun. So I'm pumped for you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
me
crazy.
Too, man.
Yeah, we're super psyched.
It's a good vibe. Plus, you get some barbecue food and catering.
Backstage, get that barbecue.
Hopefully, there'll be some puppies there. I'm talking about dogs, not Jerry Lawler-style puppies and females.
Oh, yeah, because of Motley Zoo.
Yeah, Motley Zoo will be back there, and it's always fun to play with the doggies.
One of my favorite things of all time is to see usually just the hardcore metal bands losing their S over puppies and kittens. And you see just these just death metal guys just cuddling this itty bitty puppy. And it's the most hilarious thing. It's just this weird sort of I don't know. It's just, it's funny. Yeah. Yeah. It's so funny.
Well, I think I saw a picture on Motley Zoo's website, and it was a picture of, and it must have been here in Seattle when Slayer played, and it's a picture of Kerry King,
who
looks like he's going to eat you alive as a human being. Just a monster of a dude. I hear he's an awesome guy, but visually it looks intimidating. And he's just holding a little puppy, with such love and tenderness. And I'm like, that is amazing.
See, metal guys care too.
The other show that I'm excited about, speaking of Bruiser Brody, we're going to be playing a show with you guys in October.
Yeah. We just did the official announcement this morning.
Yeah, I saw.
I clicked that I'm going.
Yeah,
good.
I clicked.
I'm so glad.
I clicked interested.
I was
where it goes.
I was worried about that.
I click interested so all of my other friends can see that I'm interested in this event.
Okay, fine.
I'm probably going.
Yeah, that's going to be the 20-year anniversary show. That's right in our backyard at Tulalip Casino.
Saturday, October 19th.
Yep, the almighty Bruiser Brody and Dead Rebel Saints, and then a little after party with 80s hair metal arena tribute Hairstorm. It's going to be awesome.
Hairstorm.
Wait, so that's the after party?
Yeah, I mean,
brilliant.
Technically they're closing the night out.
Yeah.
We're trying to, make it super effective, the main attraction, and get all of our fans from the last 20 years to come out to this amazing venue. And it's so cool that we can have our friends be there with us to do that.
Dude, that's really badass. And I love the idea, though, of having Hairstorm play then at the end, because then it's like, when you're done playing, I don't know about you guys, it just sucks to
pack up and go home.
Yeah. You're riding this high. You kind of want to, I'm not very sociable before a show because my nerves and anxiety are kind of still at a high level.
Yeah.
But after the show, it's like, I need a few minutes to unwind just to kind of stop blacking out.
Yeah.
It's just adrenaline and energy, and it's like that dump. But then it's like you kind of want to bask in the glory of the night.
Yep.
And more often than not, then it's like, okay, get your crap off the stage. The security wants to go home.
Yeah. And it's perfect to have a tribute band like that. It makes the casino happy. Keep people dancing
keep
and drinking all night. Yeah, too. But it's like, like you said, we don't have to just pack up and go and then go, what just happened? Like, we can bask in it a little bit and then still, go have a couple of drinks after we turn in our badges.
There you go.
It's a casino.
Yeah,
but
I'm not even taking a badge. I'm going to be a rebel.
Huh? All right.
You're fired.
Right. I guess Bruiser Brody's not. Can you play drums for us?
Yes.
Because I'll just drink and watch you guys then.
I already know all the songs.
There you go. Inside and out.
Hell yeah, man. It's going to be I'm thinking about getting a room at the Tulalip because I've never stayed at the Tulalip. And
they've got some fancy rooms, man.
Well, so I live in freaking Puyallup. Mm-hmm. I mean, even without having a single lick of alcohol, which, I mean, I don't have a problem not drinking and then just going home. I don't feel like driving.
It's a 2-hour
drive.
That is a long trip.
Right after that adrenaline dump, even my wife would be like, just stay. Don't risk it. You fall asleep at the dumbest reasons. I don't need you falling asleep driving home on a Saturday night.
Yeah, right?
Yep.
Kyle going crazy that night.
Going crazy.
It's your fault.
I'm going to get crazy.
Where can people get tickets and information for that show? Obviously, for a pain in the grass, KSW.com.
Yeah, I mean, if you go to superfecta.com, that redirects to our Facebook page, and so you can check out the Facebook event, which has all the information in there, but also on Tulalip Resort and Casino, their website. You can just Google Tulalip Casino, and they'll have all the information. In fact, it's $15 GA. You show up, you get in line, and you do the GA. But they also have like $20 lower level VIP reserve seating, and then the $25 upper where you call in or email to Layla and you can reserve that, get yourself a seat, which Ooh. Is not that much more money to
nice.
Do that. And
yeah.
Then you know you have a place to sit down and enjoy the show.
And if you PayPal me $100, you can sit on my lap during the roadie set.
During the set?
Yes. Yes.
Right, during where's the my set. Phone?
Really? That's kind of cheap. I might just do that myself.
$100 for dudes, $200 for ladies.
Wait, so it's cheaper for a dude to get on your lap?
Yes. Well, that would be an easier sell to my wife. Like, why did you have a chick sitting on your lap? I'm like, well, I got us $200, babe. Bills are paid.
All right.
Thanks to this fine lady.
Yeah, to put it exactly that way, and please record the reaction, because I would love to hear that.
Dude, it's funny, because, like, you know, we always talk about Joey Ryan, the wrestler, that he's known for flipping people with his wiener. You know, it's a long story. I don't need to
hear it.
Yeah.
You can YouTube it.
But anyway, so he's known as the King of Dong Style. And so people always want to get a picture holding his wiener. Granted, you know, he's got his tights on and all that, but like that's like, oh, and he would always deny people that opportunity. And then eventually, out of the blue, he decided to say, you know what? For an extra X amount of dollars, I will allow people to take a picture while holding my dong. Guys and women are taking these pictures. He's making extra money. It's insane. But somebody jokingly said, I wonder if his relationship is not going well, and that's why he's like able to do this.
Oh, no.
And then soon after that, you see there's a story on TMZ that he's getting divorced. And it's So I wonder, like, I think someone who was joking might have been like, okay, maybe he's no longer married and... Now he doesn't care.
Ooh.
You know, like, hey, screw it.
Yeah.
I don't have a wife to answer to. Grab my dong for an extra $50.
The only person, if it's the only person I had an issue with it and he's got bills to pay.
And it's a tough sell probably to a wife. Like, hey, look, you know I'm known for, and she's a wrestler, so she probably gets it. But in the same sense, it's like, I know you know I'm known for grabbing people grab my wiener, but it's probably not a good thing to allow fans just to grab my wiener. Now he can.
I just got to say, it's amazing the paths that this show takes.
It takes so many. Yeah.
We're a winding trail.
It starts with Superfecta and ends with people getting grabbed in the wiener. So for so $75, that's strangely appropriate.
That's,
Kyle, what's your rate for someone to take a picture with you while grabbing your wiener? Or is the missus going to get in the way?
It's market price. Yeah, it just depends on what's
market,
on
eBay.
I love it.
But like a really good cut of fish. Yeah,
depends on what kind of shape I'm in.
Well, it's October. It won't be too cold.
We'll just eBay off some tickets.
And there you go.
We're right now we're on summer rates.
Oh my God.
Well, Rammstein, what do they have? The freaking clone
the
of bones.
Yeah, it's like the box set that had all of their or at least one album, but it came with each person's cloned
genitals.
Yeah, love device created. Yeah. You can Google that one, too.
No, thanks.
I don't know if they were you're their market for that actual...
Probably not.
You never know.
Yeah.
I mean,
you don't know.
Single middle-aged guys, though, you know.
We love cloned Rammstein dongs.
They have the weirdest show.
See, you dared us to get weird, and now we're getting to get weirder.
I'm sure that there's no bottom, as it were.
As it were, there you go.
For $80? No.
Oh, dear. Right. Oh, no.
So October 19th, that's going to be the big show over at the Tulalip. It's the 20-year anniversary. I got to ask then, 20 years, man, what have been some of the memories that stand out for you? And Maddie, how long have you been now a member of?
We were just chatting with BJ a little before the show, and I mentioned that I've been in the band for a little over 10 years now, and I'm still the new guy.
Isn't that funny? So you're the Jason Newsted, even though he's no longer a Metallica, he's still the new guy from Metallica.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I did kind of turn the low end down on the last release. I'm just kidding. I didn't do that.
Here comes the drama.
What?
Actually, I retract it myself.
Dave Grohl, everybody.
Good. I can fix that in post. I can fix that in post.
Yeah, the drummer Sunny Day still cringes when he listens to The Color and the Shape. That's a Dave Grohl move there.
Aww.
Do you know? Have you ever seen that documentary?
No.
It's like the I can't remember which Foo Fighters records. A couple of records ago, but they did a whole documentary about the album and all that. And then they started talking a little bit about Dave and his bandmates, and he shared very openly about how he looks back, probably regrets how he handled it. But the old drummer of the Foo Fighters was just not cutting it in the studio to what Dave wanted.
Wow.
So when he wasn't around, Dave went in the studio and just redid all the drums.
Oh, jeez.
Oh. I remember seeing that on a documentary.
Yeah. It's like the Back and Forth or something like that.
I hope he like told him before the documentary came out or something like that, because that would be an awkward thing to see.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You discover that happened to you on Netflix.
Yeah,
20
as you're
years
watching
later.
It, you're like, oh yeah, I've been doing good at this, and you're like, oh no.
Hey honey, come and watch this documentary about my band.
Remember when we did all this? I spent all that time away from you doing this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if he still get. I mean, the guy probably gets. I don't know if he has any credit on that record where he could get some Foo Fighters money.
Like, would he?
I mean, maybe. If there's any of him on that record playing, he's gonna. Like, I always love the story of Chad Channing, the former drummer of Nirvana. Oddly enough, Dave Grohl came in, redid. Dave Grohl is just swooping in and redoing people's drum parts.
Dave, come on, man!
But he did redid most of the drum parts for Nevermind were originally written, or you know, it's hard to say. Like, it's drummer. I know Kyle, you play drums as well on top of playing guitar and singing. Like, I feel like we write drum parts, but nobody considers a drummer a songwriter.
Yeah, like it's really tough to.
It's a weird thing.
There's one way of looking at it where you say, okay, you know, like this song Broken Down was written on an acoustic guitar and a voice and a melody and some lyrics, you know, mm-hmm. and it could stand alone without the drums and the bass and the extra, sure. you know, elements and stuff like that. But that's not what sells the song. That's not what gets the song on the radio or gets people to buy a million right. copies of it. So you have to also look at the other side and go, well, you know, those drum parts that were created, whether it was in the studio or the rehearsal, that's a key component to its success. So you yep. can't just discount the drums or, you know, just wrote a couple fills on, you know, you don't get it. That's not how it should work, in my opinion. You know?
I agree. Cause like, I remember being a kid, I don't know if you guys were like this. When I was a kid, I was super nerdy about like opening the liner notes, see who wrote the songs, you know, and it was like all the Absolutely. Metal records always had parentheses, the members that wrote the song. And I can't remember which band it was, but every song was written by everybody in the band, but the drummer.
Ooh.
And I remember being like, well, I mean, come on, man. Unless, like, the bassist actually wrote the drum parts for him, isn't he technically writing?
Yeah.
At least just fills.
Like, why do you hate the drummer?
I mean, I remember looking, and I don't remember how accurate this statement may be, but I remember looking at the Pearl Jam 10 record mm-hmm. booklet at one point and going, like, well, Dave Cruzan is only on, like, one or two of these credits.
Yeah.
But he was there drumming. I wasn't there. I don't know how that works.
But I'd imagine
like,
he's
surprised.
The one who did all those. I mean, I don't think Jeff or Stone said, hey, okay, at this point, you're going to play on the hi-hat. At this point, you're going to do a little crazy little like shuffle on the ride cymbal. It's like, I mean, technically, yeah, it's such a weird thing. I always am confused by how bands determine what is considered to be the writing of the song.
And every band is
team
different.
Team effort.
Yeah, I remember Van Halen used to always just say all songs by Van Halen.
Yeah.
They wouldn't say, you know, Eddie wrote most of it probably. Yeah.
Queen did that at one point too.
But then I get if you're a songwriter and you actually wrote the song and then everyone else added their parts. That's why some people write performed by, and I think that's cool. But I'd imagine also if you're a songwriter, you're like, well, I deserve the credit because I really, if I had not written this song, they wouldn't be able to write their parts for this song.
Yeah.
So it's a, I understand both sides, but as a drummer, I'm pissed. But Chad Channing, he, of course, Dave Grohl came in, history was made with Nirvana and Nevermind, and Dave's drumming is a huge part of why that record's amazing. But, you know, a lot of those songs, half of those songs were originally, the drums were done by Chad, and then Dave just covered basically his parts.
Damn.
And when they went to a bigger studio and a better setup, but I mean, mm-hmm. the drum parts were already written and Dave just performed them probably with more power. But Chad is on there for Polly. They never re-recorded the four cymbal hits on Polly. There's four total cymbal hits.
I was like, you're saying Polly, and I'm like, what, like the Polly, new wave from Incesticide? No, you're talking about the slow...
The song that's a hit.
Yeah.
That's been played on every radio station that plays alternative or rock.
Absolutely.
Still to this day.
Mm-hmm.
That song on the record, that's the one song they never re-recorded, Dave Grohl. So it's Chad Channing hitting those four cymbals, and he gets a residual check for the sales
nice.
Of Nevermind, which is so freaking awesome.
That is cool.
So I wonder if it was intentional.
I didn't realize
or
that.
Or unintentional. If it's unintentional, that's hilarious. But if it's intentional, that's freaking awesome.
It's
that they're
sweet.
Like, you know what? God forbid, like, this album does take off, he's set for life. And he is, I think, pretty much set for life because of those four cymbal hits
nice.
on one song on Nevermind that sold 10 million copies. So think about even a small cut of that 10 million album sales is still millions of dollars.
I'll take it.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So, yeah, if you ever listen to that, that's not Dave Grohl hitting the cymbals. It's Chad Channing. And he's probably has a nice home and stuff here in the Washington area. He's a great guy. I love Chad. He's a super nice guy.
As BJ says, the song about the parrot, right?
He does want a cracker. Jeez. But I want to talk about the new song. Because okay. You guys, I know, have you been on New Day Northwest yet?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yep, tomorrow morning.
Be on the lookout. You're going to be hanging out with Margaret Larson, yep. who is
That's
one of my...
awesome.
Margaret is so awesome because she's a rocker at heart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So even though like she looks like this very serious newscaster that worked for CNN and has won awards and is now hosting a daytime talk show on King 5, she loves Alice in Chains.
She's hip.
Metallica.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
We Jar of Flies went a couple years ago. We went on with her and Nancy McCallum, Lane's mom.
Right.
And that was... Margaret's awesome.
She's so rad.
She's awesome.
And when the mics are off every once in a while, she might drop a curse word and it makes me
really?
So happy.
See, that's like one of those things when I see someone on TV, I just imagine that they don't curse ever. So if they do it, it's like, oh, you're cool. And I don't even know why. It's just a swear word.
So tell us about the song. It's
okay.
called Escape.
Yeah.
And so the video is freaking amazing.
I mean, yeah. to be honest, like I'll
it's
get
a serious song.
I'll get real with you. Speaking of Nancy, I mean, I brought some notes just so I can kind of stay on track here.
Good luck with our podcast.
Right. Right. No
we all need notes.
But I mean, so this song, it's not about pimping a show or an album or a song or a band. It's like, and this story is, it's not something that I really talk about publicly very often, but in the climate of this song and the reason that we put it out and our purpose and our message, I've been telling this a lot lately, and Glenn not being here, I was going to jog his memory because actually he was in this room. I dug this up last night and I'd forgotten until last night that this was almost the end of Superfecta. This was the 2008 Lane Staley Fund pre-show party.
Wow.
Friday, August 22nd. It was headlined by Windowpane. I had forgotten that. And Travis Brott of Second Coming was there as well.
Wow.
I had absolutely forgotten that until last night. I was like, what? I bet you I have a poster. So I went looking through all the shoe boxes and found this.
Dude.
And to my surprise, that's right. It was Window. But Glenn was in this room. Travis was in that room.
Wow.
And that was the night that Lane's mom saved us. So what happened was we were billed to perform at the show. My brother was struggling with heroin and opiate addiction. And this was when he was at his worst. And behind closed doors, we knew what was happening.
Yeah.
But we didn't really broadcast that. But in this type of music community, word travels really fast. So mm-hmm. I had gotten a phone call the day before the show from Jamie at the Lane Staley Foundation. And she says, we hear that a member of your band is struggling with drugs and it's really bad. We're going to remove you from the bill. But Lane's mom, Nancy, she still wants us to attend, and she wants to help. So, they put us on the list and we showed up. Nancy greeted us at the door. She took us upstairs, sat us down. We ate Lane's 41st birthday cake with her. And she said, I want to do something that I was unable to do for my son. I want to try and help you. So she, got Christopher the resources and ushered him into, basically got him into treatment. And wow. And basically,
I remember that she met with you guys.
Yeah,
I did not realize it was to this extent.
Yeah, we went upstairs with her and we made a connection immediately and said she wanted to help, got Chris the resources. She was just literally pivotal in saving our band and quite possibly Christopher's life, most importantly. He didn't get sober overnight, but now he's coming up on 10 years clean from heroin and opiates.
Wow.
And our connection to Lane Staley Memorial Fund, my eventual cosmic connection to Jar of Flies, the universe led me there, I believe, however that worked out. And Lane passing away at 34 years old, Superfecta felt, the stars aligning to do something special. Lane didn't make it to 35. What better way and a day to release this single? and music video with this message on Chris's 35th birthday, which we did this past Sunday, but the Sunday before.
Wow, dude.
Yep. And
this just gave me goosebumps, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, this isn't about pimping our band. It's not about pimping a song or a show or anything like that. This is much bigger, and we feel we owe it to Nancy and our community and our families to pass it forward to somebody who might be struggling right now. So that's this whole mission of this song and trying to get this message out there. See if we can pass it on, hope to people who currently struggle and need to hear this. If there wasn't a Nancy, there wouldn't be a Superfecta, I'll tell you that. And there, like I said, quite possibly wouldn't be a Chris Court. And if we can give hope to anyone, save even one life, then we've changed the world completely. And that's what we're out to do. So let's have this conversation over and over and over again.
It's important.
Yep. Let's be an example that through this community, love and understanding, anyone can overcome the hopelessness of addiction. We need to show the person that's struggling right now that they're accepted, they're loved, they're cherished, they're valued. We believe in you. And the toughest part of this is the stigma and the shame. We just need to continue this conversation and learn from one another. And, you know, like I said, these stars are aligning for us to do something big this year. And this is what we felt.
This is your calling.
This is our new purpose in life is taking this band, and any recognition that we get is let's filter this in. What do you need? You need a place to stay tonight. You need a clean t-shirt. You need a toothbrush. We can help you find that. And
well, like you said something there that hit me, and I think it's something that, like, whether it be battling a drug addiction, whether it be battling depression, whether it be anything, it could be even something small, whether it be battling trying to find a new job, it's small, but you know what I mean? Like, some things that could actually cause someone to lose their life, or some things that are just going to be a real massive, maybe speed bump in the course of whatever their life is. I think when you say having somebody that believes in you is something that is so, you can't put a price on that. Like, I know for me, like, and that's one of the most important things, when I hit a point where I felt like people believed in me, it's like this, there is no stopping you. There really isn't. Like, when you know that there's people have faith in that, you being able to do something, and something that maybe you're not even thinking that you have the ability to do it, but someone else has it. It's a motivator that is unlike anything else.
Mm-hmm. And the response to this already, I mean, we just checked this morning, and in the first week we had 13,000 views on the video. And it's just, nice. It's been greatly received. And I was telling Maddie on the way down here, like, there's almost 200 shares and only 100 comments. So you know that it's hitting people right off the bat, that they just want to share it and get it out there instead of commenting on it or trying to get, you know, heart reacts and all that kind of stuff. It's a bigger picture than that.
Well, I imagine a huge chunk of those people have someone in their life that is probably battling that. And this is their
everyone
vague post kind of way of reaching them. Right. It's like, here through music, which music, we always, you know, it's a corny line, but it's true. Music heals. And it really does. And that's why people say it so often. I know it for a fact, and you know it for a fact, all of us do, that music has such a healing power. It's something that's just so amazing. And now you have something out there that can help people realize that they're not alone. And that's another thing, having faith, and also just feeling like you're not alone in this battle and anything that it is. And addiction is a massive battle, clearly.
Yep.
And to know that people that maybe you're a fan of, or that you are, or you look up to, or you just say, wow, that guy probably has no problems, and you realize, oh crap, that person does. Knowing that sometimes in a weird way makes you feel better about the struggles that you're having as well. Like, oh, okay, I'm not the only one that feels like he's being fed a poop sandwich.
Yeah. You know what I mean? No, you're exactly right, man. Yeah. And we're not experts. We've dealt with this over the last 10 years, but we're still learning. And I was watching a video the other day about this guy who was talking about these experiments where his statement was the opposite of addiction is not sobriety. The opposite of addiction is connection. And it was talking about, they did these experiments like with Portugal and legalizing everything. People don't want to do drugs anymore because they realize that life was better without them. That they don't get that in this type of environment. They get shamed and it was like the rats. They put them in an empty cage, and they had two choices: clean water or water with drugs in it. And almost always they would take the water with the drugs in it because there was nothing better to do. And they would most often overdose on it. But then they were given other rats to hang out with and bond with and love, and then they stopped drinking the drugged water. They would drink the clean water, you know. Yeah. And he explains it a lot better than I'm doing right now. But the point I'm trying to make is that connection is knowing that someone understands you and loves you and is listening and not just waiting for their turn to talk. But also, like, my eyes have been open since we've put this video out a week ago. The conversations that I've had with strangers and people talking on the phone and crying to me about their situations and me realizing that it's not just about the addict. It's about the other people, the families that are affected, and even people who have been sober for a long time. I was talking really briefly just in the comment thread with somebody that was saying she was 28 years sober and she's still in her industry, gets shamed for that. And jeez. I was talking to another couple that I met last weekend where their son is, they don't know where he is. He's still on drugs right now, somewhere out there on the streets, but he had a 3-month-old daughter that they adopted and they're in their 50s, are ready to travel and go and do other things with their life. And all of a sudden life gets flipped upside down. Mm-hmm. And now they've got a now 4-year-old
to raise.
Mm-hmm. And that's hard on them just with the situation with their son. But now they have to, raise this child. There's so many other facets to this. And I'm just learning now about just keeping your ears open and listening to people's situations and how that conversation and connectivity can better everyone's lives.
How's your brother doing with all this? Like, how's Chris? I mean, obviously, you say he's sober for the last 10 years, but now all of a sudden you have this song, a lot of attention. He's in the video, obviously, and there's a lot of attention maybe put towards him. How's he been doing with all that?
He's good. And you know him. He's kind of a shy character. But he's... He feels, I've told him since the beginning of this, when we thought this up in May, if this gets too big or too much pressure for you, or you're uncomfortable, I'm shutting this thing down. Mm-hmm. And no, I want to help people. I want, so we'll both go on King 5 tomorrow. And he had to work today, otherwise he'd be here. But it's like, I can kind of be his voice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But people want to hear it from the horse's mouth. They want to see, and he has the best effect because he lived it. Mm-hmm. And so he's doing okay with it. It is a lot of attention, but it's something that he's confident in himself, living a better life now, that it's time to pass that on. Recovery is going to be a lifelong thing, but now he can help somebody
else. He's got
else.
10 years of dealing with obstacles as opposed to like 5-10 days, whereas maybe that would be just too overwhelming at that point.
Right.
And it's showing someone that after 10 years that you can get out of that, because someone who is still in it thinks that there's no escape.
Absolutely.
And with this, it shows that there is the potential for that if you want to and if you can reach out to people. And I think that's a really big thing, because the opioid crisis right now is an absolute crisis. Mm-hmm. And there's so much going on with that if you're in it, it's terrifying. And you don't think that there's a chance for you to get out of it at all. And this, even just 10 years sober, I mean, that's a monumental thing to be able to say that you're able to do. Mm-hmm. And it's literally a day at a time, and just putting one foot in front of the other. So being able to do that shows that people, that there is an escape route from all of this.
Yep. And I'd like to say that I understand, because I've been there with him through this, but I don't know what it's like to wake up every day and go, all right, what do I need to steal today? What do I need to sell today? Who do I need to rip off? How am I going to score my wait a minute. I'm 10 years sober. I'm going to get up and get some coffee and go to work. Yeah. Like I'm not going to pretend like I understand what that's like on a daily basis.
So if you have a wife that gets Starbucks every day, you got to think about who you got to steal in order for her to afford it.
Yeah, man. Yeah. But no, man, he's a strong kid. Yeah, 35-year-old.
Absolutely.
Badass kid.
How's the response from Nancy?
You know, I haven't talked to her, in a while. It's been so, I've been spun out of control getting all this together and mm-hmm. the other things that I've had in my life that I didn't really expect this thing to blow up over the last week like it did. But now I feel like, I do need to give Nancy a call and say, hey, listen. And this is a crazy thing with Nancy, is that when Jarflies went and did this New Day Northwest 2 years ago, we went after the taping, we went across the street and had lunch with Nancy and sat down with a Seattle Times reporter. And Nancy didn't know that I was the same guy from Superfecta back in that day.
Okay.
So we went and sat down at lunch at the table, and I got up to go to the bathroom, and I came back, and everybody was staring at me, and she kind of had this look in her eyes like, it's you. You were meant to be here. And wow. And that was when she turned to Nicole, the Seattle Times reporter, and says, it's time for me to tell. After 15 years of Lane being gone, I need to tell you what really happened. So that was kind of the catalyst of her, you know, talking about what went down that day that they found Lane. And
damn.
I just felt, you know, like, I mean, all these cosmic connections, yep. Like I feel, I'm not a religious dude. I'm somewhat spiritual, but I just kind of let, you know, the wind guide me. But I cannot ignore all of these things that have been lining up in the past year
absolutely.
Or two. And, but yeah, that's, I do need to reach out to Nancy and say, I mean, obviously, first and foremost, thank you. But, you know, I have some business to talk to her about. Superfecta wants to donate a portion of our future proceeds for, you know, the rest of our lives towards the Lane Staley Fund or whatever she recommends, you know.
Yeah.
Because that is another way we can pay back, you know, monetarily.
Well, let's check out the song, which is available on all the streaming services and all anywhere you want to purchase your music. It's called Escape. It's a brand new song from Superfecta. Thank you for sending us the link to it. And let's check it out right now here on the Mixcast. If my phone plays it, it's going to happen.
Someday.
It's loading. I have faith.
Come on, Wi-Fi.
Technology is great when it works.
Come on. Oh, press the button.
It looks like something's happening.
Circular.
Did you turn the volume on?
The volume's on.
Yeah, power. Let me check the buttons over here. Okay.
Did you plug the cable in?
You know, if it's on the streaming services, I'll just pull it up.
If you turn it off and on again.
Let's see.
This is my favorite part because we're not going to edit any of this out.
No, no, not at all. That requires effort.
Real life, man.
I have a dentist appointment I got to go to. We're not editing any of this out. If people, they're going to have to suffer from this awkwardness. No, I'm just kidding. Here we go. It's called Escape.
Again, I'm breathing once again. Lonely night, consume my soul.
And there it is. Superfecta, Escape. Dude, great song. And hearing the whole meaning behind it, it's just super powerful. And
thanks.
Thank you guys for doing what you guys do. And congrats.
Next song.
That's One Night Stand.
Yeah. A whole nother topic.
We could do a whole other hour just on that. Those are different stories.
Let me get real behind the meaning of that song.
Met a girl, she was bending over looking at me.
And there you have it.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
TLDR right there on that one.
Oh, man. Dude, thank you guys for coming in.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Kyle Maddie from Superfecta. Again, you can go to superfecta.com to get information on all the shows that are coming up. Of course, you got upcoming Friday, not this Friday, but next Friday, with Disturbed, that Pain in the Grass. That's going to be a blast.
Yeah.
Also, a big show that's happening at the Tulalip Casino, the 20-year anniversary concert from Superfecta, featuring, of course, Superfecta. My band, Bruiser Brody with Glenn.
Oh.
He's going to be there as well. Dead Rebel Saints. And then also closing the night off with After Party with Hairstorm, 80s hair band tribute group.
Hairstorm.
Love it. Congrats on all the great stuff, the 20 years, a song that is so powerful. Also, congrats on a great show at the Triple Door playing with Travis Brocht. That was just a powerful night of
music. I'm still coming down from the clouds on that one, man.
That was super awesome. Yeah. My wife and I had an incredible time at that show, and I'm looking forward to rocking out with you guys come October 19th at the Tulalip, man.
Ooh, yeah. Heck yeah.
We shall celebrate. That's going to be a blast. Thank you also to Adam and Joe for sitting in, watching the program.
Thank you guys for having us.
Thank you. Any shout outs you guys want to give before we roll on out?
Happy wedding, Paul and Erica.
That's their wedding gift. All right, we're going to roll on out of here. You can find us also on the Facebook.
The Facebook.
Just type in the Migscast. Join our Facebook group. We'll make sure we'll share the music video on there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, if you don't mind, Rev, that'd be awesome.
100%.
We'll share the video so you guys can check it out. Share it with your friends as well. Let's get that in as many people's hands as possible.
Yeah.
See you on New Day Northwest. If you're listening to this today on Tuesday, they're on tomorrow. If you tune in, which a lot of people seem to tune in on Wednesday, they're on today. So hurry up and watch. Pause this and put it on 11 o'clock, King 5 with Margaret Larson. You can get a Migs t-shirt for my wrestling world.
Yeah.
Of course, you've got prowrestlingtees.com/I'm Steve Migs. Thank you to everybody that's purchased shirts. That is pretty freaking awesome. I saw a couple more people bought shirts, and that's sweet. That helped pay for the ridiculous charges on a valet in California
charges,
at that overpriced hotel that we stayed at.
$50 a pop. Good God.
I need to sell more shirts, right?
There you do.
Please, just a couple more. Help me so I don't look like such a loser to my wife and not read the fine print. Read the fine print. Whenever you get a hotel through one of those travel websites, stay positive.